Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in to KER Politics. Jim, you want to talk a little bit about, give us an overview as to what you'd like to talk about on the show today?
Yeah, Al, I think today there's some really important topics. I think the most important domestic problem that we've got to talk about is what happened this week with the raid on the Mar-a-Lago former President Trump's personal residence in Florida, what the DOJ and the FBI did. I think that's critical about the future of this nation, discussing, you know, what law enforcement's doing. Also, the CDC just dropped guidelines or just dropped all the requirements for COVID testing, for face mask wearing, for children out of school, for 6-foot distancing. And I think that's an important moment in reality that's facing CDC. We need to talk a little bit about that. Talk about some of the corruption and inconsistencies in Washington between Hunter Biden, Clinton, and what they're doing, what the Department of Justice is doing. And of course, some of the actual individuals that are involved in making some of these decisions. It's a big problem right now that people need to understand a little bit more. And I think we also need to finish up the show today talking about the potential problem in China. I mean, This is an amazing issue right now that is really coming to a head. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize how dangerous it is. We should talk about that a little bit.
I'm going to start off with an opinion from Big Al here. When you talk about the way that the government went into Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago, I don't think that there was anything nefarious in the sense in the eyes of the government. I don't think that they think that Trump was trying to steal anything, for lack of better terms. My impression is that they were simply looking for nuclear documents that could harm the United States. And I think that that happens to be something that most Americans probably would agree with me on. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think Washington Post leaked a story that said that it may be related to nuclear material. I think that's fabricated. I'll be honest with you, Al. I think it's doing exactly what it did to you right now.
Okay.
It's diverting people's attention and saying, oh, there must have been a good reason for it. And especially for the left that really are looking for things to justify what happened.
Sure.
But the reality is, and this is a fact, the Trump administration had been working with the National Archives to return documents, ones that would be, you know, relevant and important, ones that would be, that the National Archives were demanding over the last, apparently for quite a long time, since January this last year. So, and they've been working together cooperatively. This is something unprecedented. And now you're looking at leftist journalists trying to shape the narrative to justify the Department of Justice and the FBI going into someone's home that was actually working with them and making a big deal about it. And I think there's no question this was politically motivated, because there were many other ways to go about it if there was concern about specific documents. And the likelihood that the Trump administration had taken classified material that was so sensitive that they would need to raid it, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it makes no sense at all. I agree with you 100%. The method that the government used, in my opinion, was really, really ineffective, and they hoped that everybody would take it the same way that I did. I took it as being a little bit different, a little differently than you did, and I think that probably that did not hurt Donald Trump's chances whatsoever of whatever plans he has for the election in 2024. I'm still going to vote for the guy, Jim.
Well, I think. So this is the problem. Department of Justice and the FBI have selectively targeted individuals that are against this administration, that are questioning the outcome of the election because of the irregularities that everybody witnessed, the closing down of polling booths or counting at midnight, going for a few hours, and these massive jumps in in votes because of the counting that shouldn't have been happening without observers, you know, mm-hmm. kicking observers out. Mm-hmm. The mail-in ballots, the COVID lockdown requirements that forced people to print, or many of these states to print massive numbers of ballots that were unquestionable, unquestioned, and just massively, people had good justification for that. Well, the FBI and the DOJ, with the January, in conjunction with congressional leftist progressive leaders, are, including a few Republicans, Liz Cheney and of course Adam Kinzinger, the only two on the committee, which absolutely have both hated Trump. They are using these justifications to attack people. And there is no question in my mind that somehow what the FBI was doing was, and the Department of Justice, and Merrick Garland came out on Thursday and admitted that he signed the approval to go after this warrant in order to go into the House, mm-hmm. that they were looking for documents that they were concerned about that would show that the Trump administration had declassified or wanted to declassify, that showed the corruption by the DOJ in the FBI through the Mueller investigation and through the different impeachment scenarios. And I think that some of that information, including potential information on Ukraine, I think the FBI and the DOJ are trying to gather that up in order to protect themselves. And they're using the shield of, oh, the nuclear weapons and nuclear documents as some other justification to hoodwink people into believing that they were justified.
Yeah. So you're basically saying that you think that they didn't give Trump any credit, basically, for concealing those documents, that the documents were, because of Trump, in a dangerous place that somebody else could have stolen them. Is that correct?
Well, they came in and they actually, the DOJ and the FBI actually reviewed the storage areas and asked them to put another lock on in June. And when they did that, basically they were approving the containers and how it was being stored.
Right. Now, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So they knew that everything, what was going on. They certainly had enough information on it. But I think they're very concerned about the fact that Trump was able to identify specific documents. Many members of Congress, Devin Nunes, Jim Jordan, others that went through, and some on the House Intelligence Committee, that identified documents that showed some irregularities. And I think they were really, unfortunately, here trying to cover up their own tracks. And they're trying to, at the same time, hit him politically. And you're right, Al. It's going to backfire on them.
That's my point. I don't think it harmed. I don't think the whole thing really harmed Trump at all. And I think the response on the part of Merrick Garland was about all that he could say. There was really nothing else that he could say, in my opinion. I want to talk a little bit about the situation with COVID and how COVID has you and I were talking off mic. And you feel that the spirit of America has been broken by the various COVID regulations, the jabs, you know, the boosters, et cetera, the distancing. I don't agree with that.
Well, I think, you know, in the next segment on the show, I think we ought to talk in detail about it. I think we got about a minute, you know, a little less than a minute left in this segment. And I do think that all these issues, the CDC and their rules on COVID that they just announced, they've withdrawn basically all the requirements for distancing and all that. I think many of these factors mm-hmm. have really hurt the spirit of America. Now, I think people are going to be able to stand up because ultimately more people believe in our Constitution yep. than don't. And so I do believe that we are going to be able to rise from it. But I think there was a big effort to undermine U.S. confidence and split this nation into pieces.
I would have to say that. I think you could be right, but I think that effort failed. There's no question about that. Hey, you guys, we've got to take a real quick commercial break here. I'm going to be right back with the smartest guy in the world, Jim McKinney, the most informed guy in the world. Stick around.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time for the short segment of KER Politics. Only got about 8.5 minutes on this one. Jimmy, you wanted to wrap up your thoughts about Trump. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we've seen the inconsistency with the Department of Justice, where we know, we've seen the videos, we've watched what Hunter Biden did, smoking crack, illegally holding a gun, naked in front of TV, you know, all these absolutely atrocious things that they've done nothing about. And they've had the laptops for over 2 years, almost 3 years now. You know that the FBI had information on Hillary Clinton for holding classified in her basement and then lying about it, and had then bringing in her staff and actually destroying the evidence, allowing them to do that. So there's no equal justice on the law. And I'm tired of listening to that argument. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, you didn't get, Jeffrey Epstein didn't get equal justice for years and years. He was, you know, cut a deal because of powerful people. And that's what's happening here. You've got a tremendously powerful group of people with a lot of money that are attempting to ensure that they can keep control of their government and keep control of the people to protect their own interests. And that's what's sad about it. And what Trump is doing is he's saying, you know, hey, release the documents on why you are going into my house. And he's demanding that after Garland said he was requesting it. Of course, with Garland, you know that he's going to defer to the judge. The judge will say, well, we can't release it because of the sensitivity of it, because the judge is absolutely on the left team. And that's been quite clear. He's made some very strange comments, both on social media, but also he's defended some interesting people like Lois Lerner, the IRS cheat. So Trump right now is actually forcing their hand and will identify, ideally, what documents he couldn't really release because of the arguments the press would say would be, you know, him releasing it, oh, it's fabricated, it's kind of like the Hunter Biden laptop, it's Russian disinformation. But now he's forcing the court and the Department of Justice to come clean on these documents and these accusations, which puts them in a different set, in a different position, and potentially will create conditions that people will be awake of what's really happening behind the scenes in Washington and this level of corruption. Well, and that leads right into what has gone on with the CDC and the FDA and the NIAID and the National Institute of Health. And how corrupt they've been.
Well, let me just say this. I think that Trump came out the winner in this one. There's no question about that. And I just really do. Let's talk about the CDC. Let's talk about the regulations that are going on right now. Actually not going on anymore regarding the COVID situation. You made a comment off mic that you think that many of the regulations broke the spirit of America. I disagree. What I saw happen with my children, they adhered to every single edict that the government put down. It made their life worse, as they told me, and they said, but we're just going to believe it. And as a point of fact, neither one of my children, neither one of my two kids in Seattle or my twins got the COVID, and they were all just fine on that. Now, my daughter in Vancouver, I will say she followed the regulations in Canada. She did get COVID, even though she was following the Canadian regulations. But I think it made them stronger people. Jimmy, you're on.
Well, okay, so I'm definitely going to disagree with you on this. What it did is it forced people into a compliant sheep mode. These restrictions that were put in place with the initial information that maybe this would be a devastating, dangerous, unbelievably damaging virus. As we got more information, those facts became, the initial information became untrue, and we knew that. And in fact, I wrote, within 6 months, I wrote an article that was published in the Epoch Times. We need to get back to life because we're seeing a very different story than what everyone initially thought. Mm-hmm. But the CDC and the FDA, the NIAID and the National Institute of Health doubled down at the end of the Trump administration on putting in more restrictions. And the Biden regime continued those efforts. They were forcing the quarantines. In fact, it got worse afterwards. And then they were mandating vaccinations. And then they were forcing people, students and children out of schools. And they've dropped all those requirements. They've dropped the 6 foot. They've dropped the masking requirements. They don't even recommend to screen people without symptoms. And you think that your children didn't get the virus because they were adhering to the policies. But the reality is they may very well have been exposed to the virus. They may have even gotten it, but had very minor symptoms or not shown anything. And you won't know that because most of us don't when that's the case.
Well, the only thing I know that my kids did is my kids trust the government. That's the only thing that I know. Was that the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? People know how I feel, so I won't even comment about that. But the fact of the matter is they simply trusted the government. That's all I can say.
Right, and you know what it's doing? It's splitting the country in half because now we're beginning to see that the government was lying. The government promised. Anthony Fauci promised, Joe Biden promised that when they began the vaccinations in earnest, that you would not get COVID with the vaccines.
Right.
That was a lie. And then when they did get the second booster, the second shot, they said, oh, definitely you're not going to get it now. And then a booster, and now they're pushing a fourth booster. They were pushing a fourth booster, but no one believes them anymore. So the people that did trust the government, if they're stupid enough to still trust the government, they're making a huge mistake because the government continually lied. Individuals and immense responsibilities that really affected jobs, future, individuals' lives, education for our entire population, for students. They lie about the facts and about the impact. And Deborah Birx just published a book, and in that book, she actually says that she knew that the vaccines wouldn't work, but they pushed it anyway.
Yeah.
That's a fabricated government lie, and that can't be accepted. And those people that continue to accept that are the reason why our government will push these limits. And that's why they're making accusations about Donald Trump. That's why they're doing these things, because they lie in order to achieve their ends and goals. They forgot about protecting the interests of the average American.
Well, they're doing everything they can to remain in power. Let me just say this. We're down here to less than a minute, so let me wrap this up. And I would wrap it up by saying, when the COVID situation first started, my wife was dying. She was just in the middle of, in the final throes of her dialysis. They asked everyone in the dialysis center to please get the vaccine. Kathy, of course, got the vaccine at the time. I got the vaccine at the time, and the reason I did was in deference to my wife. And then I will go on and say the booster came around after basically Kathy had already passed. I got the booster, and guess what happened? I got the booster, and I got the COVID. You guys stick around. Top of the hour news. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time to continue with the second half of the KER Politics. Interesting stuff going on in the news today. Jimmy wants to talk a little bit about corruption in the government. I may agree, I may disagree, you never know. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we wanted to follow up with the last segment in the last hour about CDC and some of the lies and some of the things that went forward. And of course, what we're seeing with the Department of Justice and the FBI and using the tools of government to influence people, intimidate people through law enforcement, basically at the barrel of a gun.
How has it been done at the barrel of a gun, Jim?
Well, when you have people like, say, Roger Stone, advisor to Donald Trump, who basically is giving, who has been said that he lied to Congress in an investigation when in fact he just basically didn't remember or misspoke about a specific email. And then the FBI raids his home in Florida with 17 agents. When they leak to CNN at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, and CNN is waiting outside his house, and they actually have a SWAT team with armed men go into his house to arrest him over a very minor accusation with his deaf wife in the house. And here's a 70-plus-year-old man. And now that's at the barrel of a gun. When you have, I mean, I can go on and on about the examples that the Justice Department has used to actually intimidate people. They've gone after people with guns in houses that actually attended the January 6th rally because they were trespassing. That doesn't make any sense at all. Yet people on that are in power, that are somehow connected to the financially rich or powerful, can go on for a long time without having this type of intimidation tactic. So that's the barrel of the gun. And the threat of having, if you have a lawsuit filed against you by the federal government, or the federal government comes after you, that scares the heck out of people because it will...
Of course it does. Of course it does.
It'll empty your book. You know, Michael Flynn, it emptied his... he had to sell his house. He bankrupted him in order to go against arguments that were basically fabricated by the Department of Justice. And this is the intimidation that they're using, and that's what they're attempting to do. They're not just threatening Donald Trump. They're threatening everybody else in this nation that supports the idea that they are tired of the corruption inside of Washington, D.C.
So Trump being in the House when they raided the House puts a whole different light on this thing. Now, I may have misunderstood you, but you said that his dead wife was also in the House?
Deaf wife. Roger Stone's wife was deaf.
Oh, now we're talking about Roger Stone. I'm sorry.
That's what I was talking about. When we were talking about the barrel of gun, I was talking about Roger Stone.
Okay.
But then what happened at Mar-a-Lago was the same thing. They go into Mar-a-Lago, 2 weeks after his first wife passed away.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and Eric, I believe Eric may have been there. Eric Trump might have been at the house at the time. I'm not sure. But bottom line is there's no real justification for this, but it's intimidating and it's threatening and it's sending a message out to the rest of the world that the Justice Department will use whatever tactics and whatever influence they can in order to silence people. And at the same time, the government under this regime, under the Biden regime, have been using their influence with the media and with tech companies to silence people as well.
Okay.
And then threaten them.
Okay.
Alex Berenson, New York Times reporter.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, if I were in the heat of an election, because the Democrats, in my opinion, are really in trouble right now. I mean, with the economy doing what it's doing, with the unhappiness with Biden, et cetera, if I were in the Democrats' position, I would have gone into the House in exactly the same way. They went in barely legally, but they did go in legally. And what did the various Democrats want them to think? They wanted them to think that they went in there for that reason because they had to. And of course they didn't have to do that, but little reverse psychology here. They did probably the wrong thing in my opinion, but having said that, they probably took the same exact tack that if I were a Democrat, I would have taken. I mean, it's kind of like if I were Nancy Pelosi, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment. If I were Pelosi, there is no way that I would fly and do a visit into Taiwan right now, because all I know that all that I'm doing is grandstanding for the Democratic Party and pissing off the Chinese. So there's no way that I would do that either.
Yeah, what's happening is, look, there's a certain segment of the population that has been really manipulated into hating the other segment of the population.
Oh, exactly, and that's what I'm talking about.
And so they're actually trying to inspire this type of anger and frustration that brought about the George Floyd riots. You know, they're trying to get encourage and inspire their base for some reason. Now,
of course,
you'd mentioned that this, you know, they went in maybe barely legal. We don't know yet if they went in legally. There have been many accusations and many things that put forward that were not legal that the Justice Department and the FBI have done over like decades, really. But in particular, in the last, you know, few years, specifically against the Trump administration and their, his followers and supporters. So the interesting part about what's happening right now with this inflaming their constituents, if you don't, and it's just like with your family, as we talked about in the last hour, you know, they trusted the government. They want to trust the government. They want to do what's right by it because they want to believe in it. And we all would like to do that.
Of
the problem is when you see the government actually making, and it finally pops into your head that, oh my gosh, I've been tricked. That actually is a tremendous pushback. And I think you're seeing that, you know, that people get upset about that. And I think you're beginning to see that with independent voters, with Republicans, certainly with Hispanics, many black voters. They're saying, man, I've been tricked by the Democratic Party for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they are now doing all anything they possibly can to stay in power. And maybe that's just not right. Maybe that's not the way America is supposed to be.
Well, I've been saying for a long time, I disagree with some of the things that you say, Jim, but with what you just said right now, I don't really disagree with that. I think, quite frankly, a lot of the minorities in this country have been taken advantage of. There's no question about that. Something else that I have to say, you get agreement from me, is why the hell don't we adhere to the law on the southern border? I mean, you and not you live in South Carolina, but I live in Semiahmoo. I can basically walk to the border crossing from my house. If I can't walk there right now, which maybe I can't, I can at least see it. I cannot go into Canada without documentation, but people are coming into the United States clearly breaking the law. That, I think, is one of the largest mistakes that the people in power and the administration are doing right now. And that's one I won't back down from, Jim. Jim, we got a minute left here. Why don't you wrap it up?
Yeah, so they're selectively enforcing the law. There's no question. Things they choose to enforce, they're enforcing. Things they choose not to enforce to their political advantage, they're not, you know, they're just not doing it. Or they're actually holding other people accountable in order to intimidate. And that's exactly what is the opposite of what our government is, was ever designed for. It was of the people, by the people, for the people. And what's happened in Washington is people have actually began to believe that the government is more important, and that group of people have to go away. They have to leave governance. It's about the American people.
Yeah. Jim, got to cut it here in 5 seconds. I think that people who feel the government is very important, unless they're dramatically mistaken, I think it's great that they feel that way. Gonna be right back. Okay, here to wrap up KER Politics. You know, Jimmy, you and I have been trying all week to talk about China. We're going to do it in this particular segment. And the reason we haven't been able to do it during the week is there have been so many events during the week that we've had to focus on. Not to say that the situation with China isn't incredibly important, because it is. I think if the United States continues to provoke China in its relationship with Taiwan, in my opinion, I think the Chinese are going to take action against that. I think if we get any more shows of strength by the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, I think the Chinese will probably go in there and take it back over. What do you think?
I don't think it's even relevant of what Nancy Pelosi did. I think the Chinese have an objective. The Chinese are very concerned about the influence of Taiwan on mainland China and Beijing.
Right.
Taiwan has done incredibly well financially. There's only 29 million, less than 30 million people in Taiwan, Chinese. They've done exceptionally well. They've got organized society. They do a lot economically. They live very well, and they have a democracy. Mm-hmm. And that democracy is fairly strong. It's gone back and forth. The military's been involved in the past, and you know there is problems. There has been historical problems, but basically, it's a republic that's done fairly well. The potential influence from those very experienced leaders in Taiwan would completely undermine the Chinese Communist Party's control in Beijing if it started to spread, if democracy began to spread, and the idea of democracy began to spread in mainland China, which is why the Chinese government under the CCP and Beijing have been so harsh on Hong Kong and taking away the individual liberties and putting together a national security state that they have mainland China into Hong Kong. So Taiwan is a direct threat to the legitimacy and to the strength and power of the Chinese Communist Party and the existing regime that controls it. So inevitably, in order to protect themselves, they're going to have to lash out and stop the potential spread of those ideas from Taiwan. And that's why it's irrelevant what Nancy Pelosi did. What's relevant is ensuring that they know that the price they would pay by invading Taiwan would be incredibly heavy. But the problem is the world is so connected to China because of their ability to absorb capital and create this incredible manufacturing base that basically most of the world depends on now. They have leverage, tremendous leverage, both financial power. They've used that money, economic power. They use that money to sizably increase their military capacity and capability with very effective weapon systems. And they also have used diplomacy and propaganda to spread their influence around the world to ensure people understand their abilities, their strengths, and their power. And they've overtaken Japan and even the EU as the second most prominent economy in the world, on track to become the largest economy with one of the largest populations between them and India. Demographically, that is a very big problem for the Western world and the ideas of individual freedom. And unfortunately, it's inevitable in my view that the Chinese take action there as long as that regime, the Chinese Communist Party, is in power.
Well, very possibly Pelosi didn't really affect the Chinese Communist CCP at all, but I think she did. I think that show of you know, the visitation to Taiwan, et cetera, I think it did show something that Joe Biden isn't showing, and that's that Pelosi took up where Biden did not, and she did show, I think, a certain amount of strength vis-a-vis the United States towards Taiwan. Maybe the mainland Chinese don't care, but I think the Democrats in the United States really do care, and I think a lot of the Republicans probably care too, Jim.
Well, you know what? I think you're on to something there, Al. I believe that the reason why Nancy Pelosi went was because the Biden administration, the Biden regime, has so many financial connections, have done taken so many actions that actually have supported China, taking away some of the tariffs and requirements that the Trump administration put on against China. They've sold, of course, oil from our national stockpile to China. There's a lot of regulations that they're allowing to go to be bypassed by the Chinese in order to potentially make many of the regime more wealthy. And I'm not talking about the Chinese regime. I'm talking about people here in the United States. And of course, a lot of influences that really love the Chinese markets. Yeah. So Nancy Pelosi was showing strength to the Democratic base, saying, oh, we don't like China. We're going to rattle their saber in order to show something that the Biden regime has not been able to do. And that was a political move for their base, because many of the people in the Democratic Party actually are quite concerned about the Chinese influence as well. Mm-hmm. But the Biden regime has really not done much of a good job to make a stand against Chinese expansion and military threats.
Jim, let me ask you a question. When you talk about military threats, is the timing right for mainland China right now and the CCP perhaps to put its foot down in terms of some of the actions that the United States are doing. They really didn't put their foot down at all when Nancy Pelosi went over there. I mean, you know, you had a certain amount of war games, et cetera, but a communication to the United States, a direct communication to the United States was not given at that time.
Well, actually, there were quite a few. There were some statements from their actual public relations people, as well as state-run media, that said, one, you know, the accusation, we're going to shoot down Pelosi's plane. But they had...
Oh, but I mean, come on.
Well, okay, that's... Yeah, you would think that would be a pretty stupid thing to do, but
yeah.
The point is, they were signaling, and they are continuing to signal. So the Chinese have built in the South China Sea in numerous areas, these actually built up islands. They said, oh, we'll never militarize them. Now they've got military positions and actually airfields on them and equipment, and they're expanding their capacity in the region. The United States has really passively not done much about that. We're going to sail a couple of ships through the Taiwan Strait here pretty quickly, I think in the next week,
right,
to make a statement. But the reality is we've been backing up, and we've been backing off for a long period of time. And we wanted to make sure that we didn't offend the Chinese because of the financial influence and actually the diplomatic influence the Chinese have gained around the world. So the problem becomes, when is it too late to actually make a stand? And that's the problem that American foreign policy makers have made for quite a long time. The assumption was that by allowing China into the markets and becoming more, you know, prosperous, that it would actually democratize over time, that it would actually take away this authoritarian mm-hmm. rule. Mm-hmm. But the reality is all it's done is made them stronger. And with technology and the U.S. technical tech industry, as well as major corporations wanting more involvement in there, they're willing to sacrifice in order to get into those markets. And they don't care about, you know, individual liberties. They don't care about the constitutional rights. And that's what we're facing right now.
Right. Jim, I want to do you a big favor right now. We've only got about a minute left, we've got about a minute 20 left, period. You wanted to bring up something at the end of the segment. Take the last minute and 20 seconds and do that.
Well, yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit about this whole idea of corruption and, you know, talking earlier about CDC, talking about what's happening with the DOJ, talking about individuals inside the Biden regime, former Obama administration officials that during the Obama administration and after that made tremendous amounts of money and got into positions of incredible influence. People like Tom Donilon, BlackRock, an analyst team chief, you know, the guy that runs the thought process for the largest hedge fund in the world. Anita Dunn, you know, a big time advisor in the Obama administration, who's now back in the Biden administration, net worth between $18 and $50 million. And
20 seconds.
Yeah. And these people are actually working for corporate interests that want to continue to work in with China. And that's the corruption level. And that's why you're seeing their huge efforts to undermine authority and rule of law in the United States in order to protect their financial interests. It's really, really damaging America.
And there you have it, you guys. This is fun putting the show together. We'll have another good one next week. Come on back.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.